Huddle, powered by Reuben James, Main Street in Burlington. Find them online at rjsburlington.com. Now, here's The Huddle, live on 101.3 ESPN, 101.3 ESPN.com, and streaming worldwide on the 101.3 ESPN app.
Good afternoon. You're in the huddle right here. 101.3 ESPN. All unaccounted for. Brady's here. Rich is here. Artie's here. Super busy day. What's going on, handsome? How you doing, big boy?
Wow, 2 days worth of built up for the opening.
Yeah, we did warn on the air yesterday. I didn't even know we had a show today, so I was shocked at about 3 o'clock when I found out we had a show today.
Now you said holiday weekend. Is today
today's good
work
Friday?
Holiday?
Yes. Yeah, today's Good Friday. The rest of our building is off.
I was going to say, I couldn't understand as I'm walking down the hallway way, every door is closed.
Yeah, we're the only ones here.
Basically.
Well, a couple of other stragglers are here.
Star Crew is here.
Yeah. I thought we didn't even have a show today.
It's Good Friday.
We need to change formats so we can automate everything.
Absolutely. Oh,
yeah. Let's go opera.
Absolutely.
Opera. Here's Vivaldi on 101.3.
What did you do today? You didn't do much today.
I took a chance for the holiday and I came in later. I worked from home for an hour and a half.
He's already making excuses already. I just said, you didn't do much today. He's like, I worked at home. I played basketball is what you did today.
I did. I worked at home for an hour and a half, and then I went over the edge in South Burlington.
How was that?
Very good runs. Very good.
I don't like playing there.
Yeah, because you're not good enough.
No, they're very douchey to me. Last time I played, two people quit because they said I wasn't playing defense.
Yeah, well, that's probably about right.
Oh, no. Why would that be?
No, that wasn't right. I was playing defense, and they weren't very nice to me. And just because she had a good move on me. It was a girl. I forget her name.
So you made fun of the golden oldies, and now you get made fun of and you can't dish it out.
Wow.
You can't
but that's not true. I was playing defense, and who quits in the middle of a basketball game?
Yeah, that is a little weird.
That's so weak.
The people that you play with on Monday night have that kind of attitude. I don't play.
I've never seen anybody quit when he goes. I'd yell at people and say, can you play some defense or, you know, let's match up with somebody else, but never to just walk out. How many people were there playing?
Probably 22.
Okay, so all right, but they have
two courts going. Yeah.
So
they got that going.
Say that's not much playing time.
Yeah, two full courts. Yeah, good run. I hit, not that I care about this, but I have one of those Fitbit type things. I hit my step goal today by noon, which was excellent.
What time did you play till?
I played from 11 till 12:20.
I should have played. I should have gone. They're just not very nice to me there. I don't know what it is.
I can't understand how that could be.
They treat me like I have contagious leprosy. So because you can have two kinds, one contagious, one non-contagious. You know that.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I get a big hug from a leper, it might not have any effect on me?
Didn't you ever see Papillon?
Yes. That's right.
That was non-contagious leprosy.
Great movie.
Yeah. Oh, awesome. Ugh. What, are you kidding me?
Wow.
Love that. Real quick, my wife was attacked this morning.
What?
By the bobcat?
Another animal this time. Yeah.
Your dog?
She's walking the dog. No, it's not a dog. She's walking the dog early in the morning, like 5 o'clock, because I've got a lot of stuff to do at 5 o'clock.
Now, attack, that's a serious word. Is that exactly what happened?
That's exactly what happened.
Okay.
There was an animal.
Yes.
My wife didn't. You're just already,
I'm waiting for snake or mouse.
No. My wife didn't have her glasses on.
Yeah.
And she sees an animal, and she goes, oh, there's a rabbit, because we have a lot of rabbits.
Attacked by a rabbit.
In our complex, in our area, because you remember last week was the bobcat.
Sure.
That was still this week.
Oh, that was this week.
Yeah.
Well, she saw closer. It wasn't a rabbit.
Okay.
A coyote?
No. There's a big difference between a rabbit and a coyote. She said, I can't take her word for it. She said it was a possum. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. We saw there was a possum out here the other day.
Oh, was there? Now, those things are vicious. She said the possum didn't run away when the dogs barked at it and started to charge at her. She had these rubber boots on and punted it. Like kicked it. She said it felt so great to kick it, and like kicked it into the street.
A
possum.
Kicked a possum.
Yeah.
Great. Here we go.
And she was hoping that the
PETA,
that a car was going by, our blind neighbor that says he's blind, was driving by, and I was hoping that he was going to hit it, but he didn't hit it.
You have a blind driving neighbor?
Yeah. He has a car. He drives and all, but he's blind. I don't know how he does it.
So did the possum attack him?
No, okay. He was driving by, so she just kicked it away, and the possum, I don't know whatever
just
happened.
Gave it the boot.
She gets attacked by animals now, so I don't. Is a possum? Although, do you have to get rabies shots? If you get bit by a possum or something like that?
Possums are nasty things.
Oh, so they are bad.
Oh, they're nasty, yeah.
So PETA won't be out on our front porch for our wife kicking
No, not if they're going to send you to the hospital for crying out loud.
You should start a zoo in your neighborhood.
I totally think so. I do you have all these animals in your neck of the woods?
No, I live out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah, we have possum, deer, bobcats.
I hear stuff. We have those Fisher cats. Those things are nasty.
What the hell?
You can hear them squealing in the middle of the night.
A Fisher cat?
They will rip stuff to shreds.
Will they attack?
Yes.
You. I mean you.
I don't know. I haven't. But you hear them all night.
Did you see that viral video? You had to. If you opened up Facebook or Twitter about the cheetah that jumped in the Jeep?
Oh, yeah. It just sat there.
Oh, my God. Did you see that?
No.
Oh, my goodness. The guy was terrified. This was the biggest. Was it a cheetah?
Yeah, I think it was a cheetah.
And the guy, all he could say was, it was in the caption. He wasn't talking much.
Right.
He said he stayed still and wouldn't make eye contact. Yep. Now, I would have squealed like a girl and punched the car and tried to get out of there, but it was in the car. So, and then when it was on the hood, he didn't do anything. I'm like, buddy, put that car in reverse, though. That could probably outrun the car.
Well, that's what you get for not having doors on your car.
Well,
what?
It was a Jeep.
It was a Jeep.
Oh, it was a Jeep.
Thought,
so, yeah.
Okay.
Because it was like safari area, right. Obviously. But I don't know, man. I don't think I could just sit there and let it chew my car up while I'm being scared like a little girl. You know what I mean?
You should go to Park Safari up in Hemmingford just over the border some summer afternoon with a vinyl roof.
Yeah.
See what happens.
Why? What will happen to me?
You won't have much of a roof by the end of it.
The animals will attack
me? Like, no, they don't attack you at all, but they will attack that roof.
I don't like animals. I'm a dog guy, and that's about it.
I believe a dog is an animal. Last
time
I checked.
Yeah, but I don't like the elephants and all that stuff. I could do without that.
That'll be the next thing your wife sees.
Hey, thanks to everybody that came out to RJ's. It was great. What a success. It was fantastic.
And because I'm much cooler than you, apparently,
yes.
I got to go out twice last night.
Wow, look at you. Yeah. What went on last night?
Social butterfly.
Well, you know, our buddy Jack Cordy from Channel 5.
Jack and I are tight.
Not that tight, apparently.
Why? What happened?
Well, it's his birthday today, and
what? Happy birthday, Jack! I didn't know.
We went out and met him downtown at midnight last night.
Didn't get invited?
Oh, no.
Midnight.
Didn't get invited?
You're snoring at midnight, aren't you?
The party's just getting started at midnight, Rich. Right. What are you talking about?
Right.
Well, you were.
I was out last night at midnight.
We did talk about you, but
I was out last night at midnight.
Out cold, right?
Yeah. Cold sleeping is where I was. That's for damn
sure. We talked about you, and Jack, you know, said that Arnie's interesting. He said that he thinks it's just easy to get into the business, and I said he's delusional.
Oh, you mean in the TV business?
Yeah.
I've done more TV than, and there's no offense to everybody here. Take every station. In every position, sports, weather, the anchors, put them all together, all 50 of them, and I have more experience in higher markets than everybody here.
Wow.
Is that being condescending? I'm
yes.
sorry.
Yes,
absolutely.
What? No, I'm just being, I mean, I'm.
But we're used to it.
So. I do CNN. That's probably more than a quarter of a billion. I'm just curious about that. So that's got to be worth something, don't you think?
I don't know. I kind of see.
Arnie, did you really just say that?
I did TV in L.A., Dallas, Charlotte.
Arnie, we don't believe that.
You know, that's going to amount for something, Richard,
now,
out loud.
Okay, all right. Before you just get too full of yourself, what does TV mean?
It means going to the studio and talk in front of the cat. No, what do you mean watch?
What'd you do, the weather?
No, I did the sports. We did sports talk.
Do we have video evidence of this?
Yeah, I have tons of it, to be honest with you. I got all kinds of video.
He's got it all on VHS.
I got it all on VHS. Brady, what do we got coming up on the show today? What's going on?
Well, remember, next week we got a couple of things going on. We will be having trivia, our first night over at the Burger Bar.
Yes.
That's on Tuesday.
Very excited.
Very excited. Half price appetizers. We'll have prizes, all kinds of swag.
It's my birthday that night.
Their food is great. Your birthday?
Yep.
Are you going to be there?
39
no,
again?
No, I'll come late because I got a basketball game.
But so trivia at the Burger Bar, and then we'll be broadcasting live on Friday from Natural Provisions in Williston, 4 till 7. That will be another edition of our 101.3 ESPN Wintercraft Beer Tour.
Okay. Real quick on the Town Fair Tire text line, you two are idiots, obviously. First time texter said it's called an opossum. Possums only live in Australia.
You two are idiots. You brought it up.
Yeah, but you think you would have corrected me. You think you would have known, right? You would have said, Artie, they're opossums.
I would have said, oh, possum.
Well, you know what's so funny is he's the only one that corrected us. Nobody else knew the difference. I don't know the difference between a possum and an opossum.
Maybe he's wrong.
Well, that's possible.
Yeah.
Maybe he is wrong. I don't know. I'm just going to take his word. All right, so what's coming up on the show?
Important stuff.
That's what's coming up on the show. We're 10 minutes away from our Golic and Wingo winning word of the day, giving away a pair of Sox Yankees tickets.
Hello.
So be listening there. We'll talk about if you noticed any difference in pace of play yesterday on opening day. Jason Minix, a radio host at ESPN in San Antonio, will join us. That's where the Final Four is going on. Malcolm Butler opens up. Are the Patriots considering trading Gronk and then power play? So we got all kinds of stuff. But first, it's not the opening day that Red Sox fans wanted yesterday, Arnie.
Yeah, and we want you to get in the Top Fair Tire text line on all this. 802-655-6672. This is your first chance to talk about the game yesterday. That was painful. It was painful because we were all in RJs. We're all hyped up. It's a 4-0 lead. We just gave away Red Sox tickets to a couple that was just
static.
Just loved it. They were ecstatic. Yep. It was great. Everybody was
Brenda.
Everybody was having a great time. And we all kind of just, sat down, put our feet up, decided to get something to drink, something to eat, and we all concentrated on the game, and it was just painful. The inning took like 3 days, and every move he made or didn't make just was the complete opposite. And and we were screaming, Rich, and you were screaming, get him out, get him out.
How many times did I have to yell?
Get him out.
Get him out of there.
And it was.
He just wouldn't.
You're talking about Joe Kelly.
Talking about Joe Kelly. But not only that, just everything he did.
Ugh.
It was like,
he being Alex Cora.
Alex Cora.
Can we get some names for these people?
I'm sorry, talking about Alex Cora.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy. No, Alex Cora. It just, when I saw the picture of him, when I saw him live on TV, maybe I'm thinking too much of this.
I can tell you already.
Just gave that look like, hey, I know better than everybody. Don't bother me. Right. I know what I'm going to do. And he just blew it on day one. Yeah. I know it's just day one, but it was completely unacceptable.
The same look you just gave when you told us we're nobodies and you're famous.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
I noticed that. But I saw no look on his face. I just saw a move that, it's tough having games like that when you're in public for me. Because you can't put on a scene, you can't punch anything, you can't break anything.
Yes, you can. You can still do that.
All I could do was sit there as he continued to walk one after another, saying, get him the bleep out of there. And not only did he not take Kelly out, talking about Alex Cora, after the second walk, which was to Kiermaier, but he hadn't even warmed anybody up. I mean, Carson Smith wasn't even ready to go. That was my biggest complaint about the way that game was managed. Was the fact that they waited way too long. And I know you're going to hit me with that Joe Kelly stat that shocked me when I saw it. The 69th relief appearance, first time he's walked more than two batters.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable. Because when I think of Joe Kelly, it's all or nothing. He either comes in, locates his 101-mile-an-hour fastball and blows everyone away, or he can't find the plate.
If you're talking about it being a failure yesterday and someone has failed yesterday, it's not to me Joe Kelly, and it's not to me Alex Cora. It's Dave Dombrowski. I said all offseason long,
yes, you did,
the Red Sox needed to fortify their bullpen. And why? Because what we saw yesterday is what happens to bullpens. Bullpens regress. Bullpens are volatile. Bullpens change. It's too hard a position to predict with any kind of regularity. And that's how I feel about bullpens. I've seen too many bullpens be number one year and out of the top 10 the next year. I did this on Champlain Valley Game Night months ago. I want to say for the last 3 years, the teams that were in the top five each of the last 3 years, only two of them repeated in being in the top five the next year. So I'm not saying that they're not going to have a good bullpen, but yesterday is indicative, point 1A, why I wanted them to go out and make a bullpen move. Joe Kelly in the eighth inning, you shouldn't have that.
Rich, I was going to say to you, you did the morning report. And who was the guy that that was talking in the report that commented about it from NBC? Was it NBC? You don't remember?
Six o'clock in the morning.
Well, he just said.
You're talking about the notebook or the morning?
The notebook.
Okay.
Because what he said.
Evan Drellick.
Yes, yeah. It was Evan Drellick from NBC Sports Boston.
Because he said, well, why if Kimbrell's available in the ninth?
Why isn't he pitching in the eighth?
And how have I been saying that for about 2 years now?
Well, yesterday was like, of course, it was my worst nightmare anyway. It's opening day and they blow a lead to a bunch of minor leaguers by walking all of them and not forcing them to actually make contact with the baseball. But your point, Brady, boom, there it was. You've been saying this for months. And then his point, boom, there it is. There's like the two biggest reasons they lost that game are the 2 points you guys have been making for a month. So it was kind of a nightmare.
I still think, though, there was a ton to take away that was positive in that game. And we're going to get to that in the 5 o'clock hour. But the team's offensive approach was better. It's exactly what we heard. They were going to try to hit fastballs earlier in the count. Mookie Betts drove the ball 410 feet at the beginning of the game. I know it got caught. Devers came out with a hit and a couple of ribbies. Bogarts came back and went 3-for-4. Sale looked great. Yep. All of those things were good. And I know Red Sox fans, I heard them say it at the bar. Why is he taking Sale out? You want fresh Chris Sale in August. I'm sorry.
Yes.
You don't get Chris Sale throwing more than 92 pitches on opening night.
I'm usually the hypocrite around here, but I was totally fine with him going out.
Yep.
Because I said, you know, you can't have him tired, and we know what the new Major League Baseball is. That's what the Dodgers did in the playoffs, and people, well, the Dodgers lost the World Series. Doesn't matter. That's what people do. If you go six innings as a starter, that's a blessing. That's an ace, because those days are long gone now. And I gave you the stat about catchers. There was only three catchers that were eligible for the batting title. People are rotating catchers. There's a new wave of baseball. Starters don't really go more than six or seven innings.
For me, yesterday it wasn't, and everybody's saying, oh, you're already complaining about Cora. It's one game out of 162, just like game number 71 is a game out of I'm talking big picture here. I think the bullpen's going to be better than I think Brady gives it credit for.
When Thornburg gets back, I think this bullpen can be okay, but I'm not anticipating them being number one or two in the league again.
I'm talking about yesterday, and everybody's saying, oh, you've given up on already. No, I'm talking about yesterday's game. That was a tough one to stomach, not because it was opening day, but because it was a crappy loss.
It was a very crappy loss.
And they wasted. I mean, Sale's going to give you, 30 starts, maybe 33 if all goes well.
And that was
Of them are going to be dominant one-hitter shutouts over six innings? Probably a lot of them, but you hate to not win a Sale start.
And the other thing people were saying, Arnie, which you were one of them at the bar too, why didn't Kimbrel come in the eighth inning? Well, Craig Kimbrel threw only two. He only had two appearances all spring because he was in Boston dealing with his daughter's health.
Right.
And their team gave him the blessing on that. They said before the game, he was not available to throw before the ninth inning. They stuck to that, and I have to respect that.
That's what I don't understand.
Why is he not
available? What does that mean, he's not available till before the ninth inning? That's not acceptable.
He doesn't have to pitch the ninth. Just get out of the jam that Kelly has created and then figure out the ninth with nobody on and nobody out.
They make it sound like he was late to the game and he'll be here in the ninth inning. Can you just wait a little bit? I don't understand.
Yeah, once the Kiermaier walk happened and you started seeing runs coming across, it was like, get him out. Get Kimbrel in there right now. Let's put out the eighth inning fire and we'll figure out the ninth.
That's exactly how I feel. Look, who says you have a problem in the ninth inning? You got a problem in the eighth inning. You better take it, because there's not going to be a ninth inning that with you up ahead if you don't take care of the eighth. That's exactly what happened. They blew it.
I couldn't agree more.
Unbelievable. And you said something about the pace of play. I was going to say real quick, I thought it was faster.
We're getting to that next.
Oh, because you had
It's after that.
All right, after that. Slow down, Rich, for crying out loud.
Get that opossum out of here.
We'll get to that next, and we got to get to the emergency goalie story. I thought that was a
But first we have to do our Golic and Wingo word of the day.
Yes, let's go and do that.
Every day this week, and every day next week, we're trying to send you to see the Red Sox in 2018. We've got Yankees Red Sox tickets. It's for April 10th. It's at Fenway Park. Our Golic and Wingo word of the day. We'll take caller number 5 right now, 802-655-6672. We'll do this again in hour number 2 as well, but 802-655-6672.
What are you waiting for right here on 101.3 ESPN?
The commercials are over, and the guys are back. The Huddle with Rich, Arnie, and Brady on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, a holiday edition. Brady, who won the Red Sox tickets?
Steve from South Hero.
From South Hero.
My buddy.
Red Sox and Yankees. How about that?
Steve, I think I'm free that night.
Wow, look at you.
Yeah.
Already just trying to get down there, huh?
Hey, I know him well. My parents are buried in his backyard.
How many people?
True story. That's true.
But yeah, we didn't fix the contest so Rich's buddy would win. Please make that clear.
Oh, okay.
What do you mean you're buried in there?
I'm not buried, not yet, but I will be there eventually. Knock on wood.
What, does he own a cemetery?
No, yes. He's got a house, and there's a cemetery way in the back. He has a big farm up in South Hero along Route 2.
Yeah, I don't like talking about that.
I know. Isn't it weird?
Yeah, it is.
You ever notice that people have their headstones and they have the person, like the wife or the husband who hasn't died yet, and it says 1946
and
to
blank.
Empty?
Yeah.
If I'm that person, yeah. I'm thinking, ugh.
Yeah, that's a little creepy for me. That's
anyway, congratulations to
you. Yeah, so there you go. Congratulations to that. All right, Brady, now, do we want to go ahead and continue with the Red Sox opening day with the Kimbrel part or the pace of play?
I thought we were talking hockey first, and then...
Oh, well, yeah, well, I said pace of play, and you said we're going to talk about that
next.
Yeah,
we're going to get to it in the next segment.
Okay, well, we just...
You're driving the bus. Pick which one you want to talk about.
Just one thing on the pace of play. I did think it was faster. What was the time of the game? It was way over, 3 hours and what?
It was over 3 hours. It ended right around 7, so it was close.
Okay, because...
It ended pretty much right at 7. So right. It started at 4, it was about exactly 3 hours.
I think it was really cruising along. I remember looking at 6 o'clock... It was in the top of the eighth inning. So 2 hours in, it was in the top of the eighth. And it really, that's about 40 minutes from there on in. It took a little bit longer. But I thought it picked up. Now, I don't know about the other games. The Met game seemed like forever, but that was like a 9-4 game or something like that. I'm sure a lot of changes. But just based on the Red Sox game and based on the Yankee game, because that went by fast, 6-1, we were watching that one also. I thought they both went quick, so I don't know if that was on purpose or what.
I thought the games seemed faster also. I noticed less trip to the mounds, and I think you're going to get that in part because, number one, you've got every team's best pitcher pitching. You count on them to pitch well and need less discussion on things. Generally, it's a veteran pitcher that's going to need less discussion on things. Also, these guys have talked about their game plan for this game for a couple of days now, so I think there's less necessity in going out to the mound, but I did see a difference between innings. But what's interesting is that the average length of the game yesterday on opening day was 7 minutes longer than last year's opening day and like 25 minutes longer than just back in 2015.
Whoa. 25 minutes longer than just a couple of years ago?
2015, the average, in 2015, it's a 26-minute difference.
On opening day?
Yeah.
And that doesn't include the ceremonies or anything like that,
nope,
right?
Nope, includes the game. But I do think that's a bit of an uneven comparison. There was multiple extra-inning games yesterday.
And slugfests. I mean, hell, even the White Sox put up 14. Yeah.
Multiple extra-inning games yesterday and multiple slugfests. So, therefore, you had some outliers in there that I think really skew that data. You also had four teams come back from four-run deficits, which are going to create at least one long inning, especially late in the game. So I think that is uneven. When I was watching the Mariners game, that game was over in 2 hours and 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. Red Sox game was cruising along, and even with the long eighth inning, it ended in 3 hours. Yankee game was 3 hours. I actually thought I didn't notice anything massively different, but I did feel the game moving along faster.
It's unbelievable to me that Red Sox game went exactly 3 hours to the minute. And it was funny because we're sitting in RJ's, and the Red Sox game ended, and then literally 5 seconds later, the Yankees game ended. Yeah. So they both ended at the exact same time. But if you had told me, I mean, that game was on about a 225 pace. You put Sale and Archer throwing strikes, although Sale walked three, which is very unlike him, but he had a little bit of wildness at a time. But that game was on that pace was flying along. And I watched late night, I watched that Giants against Kershaw.
I was watching that too. Yeah, that was 1-0.
That was a beautiful
game.
And that went extra innings also.
Yeah. Yeah. Did it? I think they scored. They scored a run in like the fourth and won it 1-0. But I mean, the point being, that one drove the timing down. But yeah, there was a lot of. But I mean, that you were commenting at RJ's last night in that eighth inning for Tampa. That thing must have taken forever. Well, the problem too is, you know, you can go out there and single, grand slam, game over. That was more like a root canal with Joe Kelly. I mean, it takes a long time to walk all those batters.
And everybody was screaming at the bar too, man. They're just everybody's like, "Get him out! Get him out! You're killing us, man!"
Infuriating.
Well, take notice, everybody. When I told you that the team needed to go out and get bullpen help, especially a lefty. Now, I know yesterday didn't come down to a lefty, but when I told you that the team needed bullpen help, I'm not saying that it's going to be that bad every night because it can't possibly be that bad every night. But the team needed to go out and address the bullpen. You can't just sit back on your laurels and say, "Oh, we were number one or two last year. Now we're going to be number one or two again." I saw the Mariners go from number one in the league in 2014 or whatever, missed the playoffs by one game, and then next year finish out of the top 10 and all of a sudden – be 10 games worse than they were the year before. Just because, sole reason why, because the bullpen was different.
You know, I'm still not sure what, he's not available until the ninth inning. I can understand that they're saying he's only available for one inning, talking about Kimbrel.
Yep.
Then I could understand, okay, he didn't pitch a lot in the spring. They want to limit him to one inning. I could understand that. But to say he's not available until the ninth inning,
right.
I don't know what the hell that means. Well, what, is he up getting something to eat or something? That doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, that's what I didn't understand in Cora's post-game press conference. He's talking about he wants to limit him to one inning, and yet he says he'll put him in. And we didn't need one inning out of Kimbrel yesterday. We needed two outs,
right.
One out or
right.
Two outs, and then have someone else pitch the ninth
exactly.
With a clean slate.
Exactly.
So I don't know. But we talked about that earlier, and again, it's just one game. The joy of baseball. We're right back at it tonight.
And how important is David Price today? And not so much in the result. I want him to pitch well. We all want him to pitch well. Sure, we'd love for him to go seven innings and strike out nine and be efficient with his pitch count. But more importantly, just want to see his attitude be improved. I read this massive story today in ESPN about when he played for the Rays and when he played for Toronto and for Detroit, he was a genuinely fun guy. And teammates raved about how great he was. And then last year, whether it was the injury, whether it was the contract, whether it was the poor playoff performance again the year before with the Red Sox, that fun was sapped out of him and he became this totally different person. I want to see that joy back because him being a positive leader in that clubhouse is a big thing. Last year he was a leader, but it was the wrong kind of leader, and that kind of toxin spread through the clubhouse.
Wow, all three of us got slammed in two texts.
All three?
All three of us at the top
we were
of the
all wrong?
Line. Listen to this. Joe says Rich is right. Rich is always right, except of course. Wait a minute, it just got
when Arnie's right.
When Arnie's right.
Right,
so got that one. And then okay, Brady, you're a genius. Stop it! I told you so. Crap. So all three of us got ripped in just two.
Rich
texts.
Is right. Rich is already always right.
I think that was sarcasm.
Is that that's yeah. Getting ripped?
Well, I think that's sarcasm. You know, that's they're just taking a little shot at you there, big
no, I
white.
Think it's saying that one of us is always right.
I'm not a genius, but I did say this about the bullpen.
Yes, you did.
4 months ago.
Yeah, I can't deny that. That's why I'm sitting there at RJ's yesterday going, oh, he's going to be insufferable tomorrow.
I think, you know, again, like you said, it's only one game, but the show's today. So we talk about that. You know, I love when people go, it's only one game. Yes, I understand that, but the show's today.
Yeah.
So I can't go to the boss and say, I'll come back in 4 months and then we'll see how the Red Sox are. Then we can talk about that.
Trust me, that's the joy of baseball. If that game happened on July 20th, it's game 104 or whatever, we're talking about it the next day. You can't blow a 4-0 lead to a minor league hitting team.
By the way, if I want a day off, I don't need a day off on my second day of work. I hate what the Mets played yesterday. They don't play today. I hate that. I don't need a day off on my second day of work. I can make it a couple of months, Brady.
It's because of rainouts and needing those days open early in the season. What I don't understand is Seattle's not playing tonight against Cleveland. They have a roof there. There's no rainout happening in Seattle.
Friday night. I've never heard of a team. And the Red Sox don't play Friday night next week.
They go three off days over 6 days.
Never heard of a baseball team not playing on a Friday night except for a rainout.
But that Seattle thing can't make the Mariners front office happy. I mean, they're drawing 30 at least at Safeco on a Friday night.
Well,
first one of the season.
I mean, it's the early in the season schedule. By April 20th, this all goes back to normal. They need those open days early. I get it. I don't like it. I'd rather watch baseball the same way I always watch baseball and know that it's there every day except for your either Monday or Thursday off day, and this isn't that.
But
I can't be too upset
about it.
Well,
the summer days, there's no screwing with that. The kids are out of school. You want it packed. Bring the family. Those days you're not messing with. You're playing every day. You get very rarely off days that. If you're going to get an off day, it's going to be in April when people are working, people are in school, and you get less. And the weather's bad.
There's a chance you're sitting at 41 degrees and drizzle. Yes.
Rich, tell us what happened with the Blackhawks yesterday. Because they used their emergency goalie.
Yes.
Now, what, their two goalies got hurt, right?
They had one goalie, Anton Forsberg, get hurt in the pregame skate. And then they had their other goalie, Colin Delia. He got hurt during the game, 14 minutes left. So then they go to the bullpen, and they bring in this guy, Scott Foster, 36-year-old
accountant.
36-year-old accountant, beer league goalie. He comes in, gets seven saves yesterday against a Winnipeg team that's going to the playoffs. It's a good story.
Oh, it's awesome.
Go ahead, Arnie. I guarantee you I know Arnie's next line.
My kid's better than the Blackhawk goalie, then.
Ta-da!
Is that what you say there? You know, by the way, they have like three emergency goalies. But they don't travel with the team. So my brother was asking me this morning, what happens if the Blackhawks would have the injuries on the road?
Mm.
And my wife said then they use one of the emergency goalies for the other team. They go, nah, that's not
it. Oh, that can't be right.
Well, I don't know.
Then what do you do, forfeit?
Those emergency goalies
are just happy to play anyway.
Yeah, but the emergency goalie thing is fast. I'll be honest, I didn't even remember this rule until we saw it yesterday.
Oh, they had tryouts last year. I read about the tryouts last year.
Yeah, so they had tryouts last year. And there is, at least at the Blackhawks, there's a rotating stable of local goalies that they use. And basically, they're not on payroll. They don't get a contract. Even for playing yesterday, Scott Foster gets no money. Even for playing yesterday, he gets no money.
Does he get no money for at all? I thought he gets something.
Does he finish with a save percentage of 1,000? I mean, that counts. It has to count.
He's not even the only emergency goalie that played this year. The Rangers used one.
So, yeah, they did.
Yeah.
And they have these tryouts, and you basically just sit up in the press box and get a free ticket and free food, and you're just there just in case.
That was his 12th game, I believe. Like I said, they use about three, what, there's 40 home games in the playoffs, so they'll use like a rotation of about three and make sure one's always there.
So how is Foster in uniform? What was his
name?
Holmgren, whatever, the guy who got hurt,
Delia.
Yeah. Once he got hurt.
So he gets hurt,
they bring him down from the press box and put him into the
He's got his equipment there.
Yeah. Okay.
And then he gets dressed. And they give you, if
it's right in the middle of the period?
They give you as much time as you need to get ready.
He's not even dressed.
No. He was dressed because once the starting goalie got hurt in
warm-ups. Right, and then he comes down.
The coach said to him, go get your stuff on.
Okay.
And then once the other goalie got hurt, they go, hey, put on your helmet.
Wow.
And they asked him, what did he say after that? He goes, I don't know. Everything was a blur.
Yeah,
I just wanted to make sure.
I
blacked out. I just wanted to make sure I got my helmet on. You know?
That's good. The guy blacked out, and he still had 1,000 save percentage.
Carolina once used their equipment manager
yes.
as an emergency goalie.
That's great.
Really? Now, I've never heard any about that, like emergency player in the NBA or emergency player in baseball.
Well, because in the NBA, I assume the rule is like it is with college hoops. If you foul out too many guys, you just play with four guys.
Yeah, you play with four. So you don't. Yeah, but you don't have to sign somebody from the from the stands or anything.
No,
like that,
in fact,
huh?
Some team in college played 5-on-3 for the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was
in
Alabama.
I don't know if they won, but they kept it close.
No, they didn't win, but you're right. They did keep it close. But that's awesome that a regular a tax accountant or whatever
yes.
can play goalie for the Blackhawks and play well too. That's the funny part, Brady.
So it's very odd. We got a text that said that he got paid $500. The Chicago Sun-Times wrote a story an hour ago. It was published 1 hour ago and said that he doesn't get any money. Now I do see a report that said he got $500.
I think what it is you don't get any money to be the emergency goalie, but once you're pressed into action and you get that one-day contract, you get something. By the way, also on a little side note, I hear that the players also kind of get together and like buy the emergency goalie when he does something like that, like a present or something. So that wouldn't surprise me if they did something like that also.
I'll tell you, talk about priceless. I mean, the experience is you could pay him anything and it wouldn't be worth just the experience.
You know when you walk in the bars and the TV's always set to certain channels? You walk into my house, it'd be only set to a loop of me playing with the Blackhawks on. It's
like you constantly. With Bernadette Fusco in the movie
there, exactly.
Whatever her name is.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah,
Simona Fusco.
Simona Fusco. Awesome. That is just... I love when you have to use an emergency goalie.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if it was like two emergency goalies playing against each other? We got the tax accountant in one and a librarian in the other goal there, or something like that. That's hysterical. All right, Brady, what do we got coming up next?
The Final Four is this weekend. We're on the phone line next with Jason Minix, a radio host at ESPN Radio in San Antonio, the site of the Final Four.
And real quick, just a little side note, when's Trey Bell Haynes and Peyton Henson playing tonight?
Yeah, they're going to play in that 3-on-3 tournament, 7:15 and 9:15. So the 3-on-3 tournament, of which they're playing for money, 7:15 and 9:15. And they've got a favorable matchup. They're going to take on the Mountain West seniors at 7:15 and the Big South seniors at 9:15.
And we can see that how?
It's CBS Sports Network, I think.
Okay.
Okay, I don't know.
But I thought it was ESPN2, but maybe that's just the final.
I thought that was too, but yeah. And they're playing in a All-Star game now, but the big thing is the 3-on-3. So that's going to be very interesting to see. We'll get to Jason Minix. That's coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Step one, watch sports. Step two, talk about sports. Now, back to the huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
Welcome back here in the huddle right here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. It is Friday, and what a great sports week it has been. Red Sox opening day yesterday, and now the Final Four coming up this weekend. Let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line and find ourselves Jason Minix. He's a radio host at ESPN Radio in San Antonio, which is the site of the Final Four this weekend. Jason, how are you?
I'm doing well, and you just mentioned the Red Sox opening day. Yesterday we had the Astros and Rangers, and today it's wall-to-wall Final Four as we get ready for the weekend. All four teams are in San Antonio, and with the open practices today down in the Alamo Dome getting ready for the Saturday semifinal games. It's going to be a fun weekend.
You know, we've talked a lot about – I'm not always huge when they say, well, what does this do to the ratings? But I'm going to ask you, we've got the two Blue Bloods in Kansas and Villanova, and you've got the big Power 5 team in Michigan. You've got the underdog in Loyola Chicago. What's the fanfare like? What's the reception been to these teams down there?
You know, it's interesting because when you're in the host city, you want the Blue Bloods to come because, one, you know they're going to travel the way the Alamo Dome is configured. We had the last Final Four in San Antonio 10 years ago, and it was the last one they did in the arena configuration. So there was, I want to say, 40, 45,000 people in the Alamo Dome. And then they went to the layout with the stadium, with the basically the basketball court on the 50-yard line. And so, all right, you're bringing 70,000 people are going to be at the games tomorrow night, and then for the championship game on Monday, you want to have teams coming to your city that are going to travel. And when you get a Loyola Chicago, you wonder what their fan base is going to be like. And yet, you know, I know one guy that went there and he didn't even have a shirt. He had to go buy one. And so you wonder what it's going to be like. But so far, if you're walking up and down the Riverwalk, you see a lot of people in their brand new Loyola Chicago gear, and you've got the Sister Jean aspect of it. So, you know, there's certainly the fun team, the most interesting team in this tournament, if you will. Sister Jean has kind of become the face of the tournament, but I've questioned it as well. You know, I wonder what the ratings are going to be like. Are people going to tune in Saturday night for the early game, because they're in the early game, to see what they're doing? Is the curiosity level going to increase, or the casual fan saying, I don't know who that is, they're probably going to get beat, so I'm not even going to watch the early game. Yeah. So that part is going to be interesting to see what the ratings show. I think if you go back, you look like when Butler and George Mason has made runs, they've seen a bit of a dip. But also, where's the game at? Is it on CBS? Is it on TNT? Is it on TBS? You know, they've also kind of made it difficult to go find.
I guess I don't know how to view San Antonio. I think of San Antonio as a pretty big place, but then it always gets lumped in with these small and mid-markets. So economically, what's the impact of this event on the city? Is this something you've been waiting for a long time because it's a smaller place, or is it just, this is one of many cool things in San Antonio?
Well, we're one of the largest cities in the country, but we get the small market label because our TV market isn't huge. And that's because Austin is an hour away, and it's its own TV market. Corpus Christi is 2 hours away. It's its own TV market. The Valley is a couple hours away. It's its TV market. Houston's 3 hours away. It's its TV market. So when you look at TV market size, I think we're 32. But in reality, we're the seventh largest city in the country. But you take, like, Salt Lake City. You know, that TV market, they cover all of Utah and part of Nevada, but Salt Lake City isn't near the size of San Antonio. So, but we are a one pro sports team town with the San Antonio Spurs. Maybe we end up with a baseball team down the road or Major League Soccer, but you look at Austin, which is an hour away, the way that city is growing with all the tech stuff, you know, they probably will end up with a soccer team before San Antonio does. NFL. You've got this is a Cowboys town, and you've got the Houston Texans. I think both Bob McNair and Jerry Jones would fight San Antonio getting an NFL team. Everybody says Jerry Jones, but the Texans and Bob McNair would fight it more. So, but to answer your question, it's a huge event, and San Antonio is a great place for events like this. And every year that we've had Final Fours or the Valero Alamo Bowl every year, because the way our downtown is situated and close to the stadium, you get to your hotel and you can walk everywhere within a couple of minutes. It's a great venue for that. We obviously have great weather. So when you look at it from that standpoint, yeah, San Antonio wants this, and the economic boom is in the hundreds of millions of exposure because for San Antonio, tourism is our number one industry.
Jason Minnix, radio host, ESPN Radio in San Antonio, with us here on The Huddle on a Friday, 101.3 ESPN. Now, are you guys doing anything with any of the events around the Final Four. Up here, we're excited because the senior All-Star game features a University of Vermont senior and Trayvell Haynes. Two UVM players are playing in this new three-on-three tournament, which is a conference-wide thing where there's a team representing each conference. So we're excited about some of the ancillary stuff. Are you guys doing anything there, or is it only the Final Four?
Well, it's a little bit of both. You know, on Thursday, last night, we had the slam dunk contest over at St. Mary's University, and you got the three-on-three deal that you just spoke of that's also happening out at St. Mary's University here in San Antonio. For my duties this weekend, it's basically Final Four. All day, you know, we're on the Riverwalk Friday, and we'll be on the Riverwalk all day Monday doing extended shows with one of the great things from our, you know, inside radio is all the celebrities that are in town. And, you know, when you think about, you know, like, you know, later tonight we're going to have Steve Smith on at 3:30. Then I'm going to emcee an event with Steve Smith on the Riverwalk after, I think that's at 7:30 tonight. So after my show, you know, we're going to do this Q&A thing. Of course, Steve Smith from Michigan State did play for the Spurs, won a championship with the Spurs. So that'll be fun. So there's so many different things on the Riverwalk that we're a part of. And then, of course, you got the Music Fest going on tonight. It's the country music deal with Jason Aldean. Saturday, I won't go to the Music Fest because I'll be at the games, but it's Imagine Dragons. And then my daughter's very excited that Sunday night it's Maroon 5 and One Republic and Panic at the Disco. So, I mean, when you think about the Music Fest, and that's the one of the cool things about an event like this is, like, the Music Fest is all free. It's all downtown. It's all free. You don't need a ticket. You got the Fan Fest going on, which, you know, is all the interactive stuff that is a fairly cheap ticket. I think it's $8 to get into the Fan Fest, where if you go back and you think about basically the same setup at the Super Bowl, where that ticket is $35. And so there's all kinds of things for fans to do that don't require going to the games. And you mentioned, like, some of the ancillary events, those tickets are fairly cheap, $10-$15. So but there's just so much to do. But for me personally, basically it's all Final Four duties on the Riverwalk. If I could have afforded it, I probably would have just got a hotel room down on the Riverwalk and just stayed down there, because it might have made my life a little bit easier.
Jason, we'll get you out of here on this. Let's transition to the NBA real quick. We're coming down to the end of the season. Up here, we're all pumped about the Celtics. Big win again. I don't know how they're doing it with everybody injured, but they win the other night, a buzzer beater in Utah, and they sweep a West Coast trip. The Spurs, it looks very different in the Western Conference than it's looked in the last few years. The Spurs are fighting for a playoff spot. We still don't know what's up with Kawhi Leonard still. What's going on in San Antonio?
You know, it's the most bizarre year that I can remember with the Spurs, and I've been covering this team since 1994, and, you know, I mean, this is more bizarre than when Bob Hill got fired in the middle of the season and Greg Popovich took over as head coach from his general manager position. And, you know, obviously they've been on this, you know, 19-year run of winning 50 games, which is certainly likely to not happen this year. And the question is, you know, are they going to make the playoffs? And, I don't remember a year where that was even a question. And it's all because of Kawhi Leonard. And quite frankly, you know, depending on who you talk to, you get a different answer. You know, if Kawhi is seriously hurt and can't go, then sure, you don't play. And Greg Popovich's history says he's never going to put a player's future at risk for a current season. And, you know, we always reference back to, you know, in 2000, after the Spurs won the championship in 1999, Tim Duncan had a meniscus tear. He could have played. He wanted to play, and Pop sat him down and said, I'm not risking your future for this playoff run. And they had a chance to go back-to-back. That's what Pop's always done. If player's ready on Tuesday, he's going to set him another game or two just to make sure he is ready. Spurs doctors have cleared Kawhi Leonard to play. Kawhi's doctors have not cleared him to play. He is in pain. I had one insider tell me that it's mental with Kawhi. He's having pain while going through rehab, and he's never had an injury like this, so he doesn't understand that rehab hurts. He just flat out doesn't trust his leg right now, and if he doesn't trust it, looking at a Supermax contract and everything else that's coming down the road, he for whatever reason, isn't willing to risk it. I think what really hurts Kawhi, and where a lot of Spurs fans have kind of turned on him and are mad at him, is he doesn't talk. Now, he doesn't talk by nature, but tell us what you're going through. Tell us what kind of, tell us your side of the story, because right now we're not hearing from you, Kawhi, and until we do, you look like a selfish dude right now that's looking at your future contract and putting that ahead of your team. Did you have Ginobili say what he said, Manu said a week ago, that, you know, they haven't seen Kawhi. He hasn't been around. And when you're going through rehab, you're not practicing, but, you know, you have to take it on yourself to be a part of the group, and Kawhi hasn't done that. Then Tony Parker's like, yeah, I'm back, and, you know, my injury was 100 times worse than Kawhi's. There's just some things that are just very un-Spurs-like being said by two veteran Spurs, and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili, that certainly make it look like it's all Kawhi. Dude, you got to get back there on the floor and help this team play. And you know, quite frankly, if they get a first-round matchup with Golden State without Steph Curry and Kawhi is able to come back, they have a chance. And I think the reason he hasn't been shut down is there's still a chance that he can come back and play. I doubt it at this point, but that door is still open because the Spurs have not shut him down for the season.
Very interesting year in San Antonio. Interesting weekend in San Antonio. Final Four is tomorrow. Jason Minix, ESPN Radio in San Antonio. Jason, enjoy the games. Enjoy the Final Four, all the pageantry, and then the title game on Monday. We'll talk to you again.
Appreciate it, Brady. Thank you, man.
All right, great interview. I always love listening to Jason Minix. I never want to call a person out when it comes to injury. I'm really not buying the pain thing and him. I'm not buying it because his teammates are calling him out.
Oh, Kawhi?
Yeah.
Okay.
Kawhi. And matter of fact, I know they're getting it from Popovich. I'm just not buying that he's got pain. I think he's just sending a message there.
No, I think he's sending a message that I'm not going to get hurt as I sit on a gigantic contract.
Yes.
He's sitting on a max contract. He's not going out there.
Yeah. No.
Whether it's right or wrong, it's pretty clear what he's doing.
Totally agree. Mike from McKenzie on the Town Fair Tire text line. Brady, why don't you answer that? He wants to know why he couldn't listen to the Red Sox game on the 101.3 app.
All right, so we got a couple questions about this, and here's what happens. You can listen to the Red Sox games every game of the season right here on 101.3 ESPN, but you cannot find the Red Sox game on our internet stream at 101.3ESPN.com or on the app. That is a Major League Baseball rule. That is not our rule, and the reason why is because Major League Baseball would love for you to buy their packages, League Baseball TV and Major League Baseball Audio. They would like to make money off of you trying to listen to those games. And if we give it out for free, then the entire country could go to our site and find it for free, and baseball wouldn't get you to pay for it. So that is not a us rule. That is a Major League Baseball rule.
Is that the same thing
rule.
For football, too? Do we not have the Patriots on there?
Patriots are not on. That's the same thing for every sport.
Yeah. Okay.
Because then you would never buy the league-mandated products and support the league.
Right. Right, so
that is not an us rule.
I thought it was just a Brady rule. So, mad at Brady. Brady's the one that doesn't want to do it. He's very lazy.
Knows these poor leagues need more money.
All right, hour one in the books. We'll come back. Hey, we have a lot to get in the 4-minute football fix. So much Patriot stuff to get to. So that's coming up next after a Brady update on 101.3 ESPN.
This is Sports. I miss football. You miss football. We all miss football. So let's talk some football. Training camp may be a ways away, but we'll help you through the wait. This is your 4-minute football fix on the Huddle 101.3 ESPN.
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the Huddle right here, 101.3 ESPN, hour two of show on this Friday. A couple things I want to get to real quick. If we don't get a winner for power play today, I quit. That's it.
You quit?
I quit. I quit the power play game.
I thought you meant you were actually going to walk out of the building.
We will stop. The three possible answers today, Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both. So question four is fat, wears a red suit, and goes, ho, ho, ho. Don't give the answer. Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
Okay, yeah, we don't want to cheat for anyone.
Question eight has a cute little tail.
Well, some Santas have a tail, don't they?
No, Rudolph has a tail.
Would you say cute?
No.
Okay.
No. Good point.
If we don't get a winner for power play today, I'm going to have to stop the game. I'm going to have to. I mean, if you can't win Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both, then you'll never win a contest we ever have, unless we just like pick it out at random.
I mean, this is a good chance we'll have a winner since we're here and we
yes,
have somebody
and we are
who can
here.
Actually
yes.
answer the phone.
You know, we can answer the phones too, exactly.
You know, when I was researching this stuff, and I did a lot of research today on Santa the Easter Bunny, I learned a lot too. Like just about how much, this is amazing, how much Santa has to eat and drink to satisfy all
you're
of his
needs. You're
giving
it away. I was going to say weighs more. That's question 7. You're giving it away.
Let me see here. Hold on.
Where's red? Looks good in red.
Just say hypothetically, if all 2 billion children of the world that Santa visits left a glass of milk, 8 ounces for him, Santa would need to drink 4 million gallons of milk every hour, or 137 million gallons of milk overnight. A human stomach can hold 2 to 4. So Santa is just that magical.
Wow. That's question 1. What are you doing?
There's
what
4/10 of your answers right there.
I mean, that's unbelievable. Easter, you know, we should give away Red Sox Yankee tickets to Power Play. Look at Rich. Yeah, then they'd be calling up like crazy, would they not?
With all the cookies that Santa eats, it would take him 1.9 billion years or something to work off the calories from one Christmas.
Wow.
Well, he's only been taking one bite out of the cookies we've been setting
out. I feel bad.
He eats all of mine.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, the whole thing.
Oh,
I think he leaves some crumbs, but he never doesn't. We don't skip up for Santa.
He didn't like
either.
Oatmeal. He skipped my cookie.
And
this
I used
year.
To break in people's apartments to steal the cookies. Look at me.
Santa likes Oreos.
You're a mean one.
Number one cookie for Santa is Oreos.
I have a secret stash of chocolate Oreo cookies in my closet.
No, your wife got those already. She told me.
Did she?
Yeah. She took those.
I had them like 3 nights ago. I haven't seen them since.
Yeah.
No, I'm serious. They're in the back. I didn't know how she could see them back there.
Yes. Yeah, she took them from you.
She's not tall enough.
Your son got them for her.
Oh, get out. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Son of a... That guy, he's just such a little rat.
I don't know.
Oh, well, I could see him doing something like that.
I had you believe in it, though.
Yeah, you did. You did. So anyway, that's Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. If we don't get a winner, I'm never going to play it again. That's ridiculous.
Oh, that's too bad.
If you can't get Santa Claus... Easter Bunny or both.
Yeah.
There's something seriously
wrong
with you.
Now, what would be both? That must have been tricky to come up with questions.
Is a fun person slash animal that people like to have visit their house? That would be both.
That would be very much both.
Please tell me that's not on there.
It is.
Something
that's
like that.
That's question 5. All right, so it's going to be very easy. Super, super easy.
We got Yankees Red Sox tickets to give away in like 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So
go look and win go word of the day, 15 minutes.
Unless Rich and I take the tickets. It'd be nice to go to a game.
Somebody called me up in hour 1.
Yeah.
And said, hey, I didn't listen to Go Look and Win Go today. What was the winning word?
What?
Doesn't work that way.
I said, I can't tell you that, sir.
We could tell you the first letter. That would be the only hint I would tell you.
Was there some financial advantage for you in any of this?
Nah, I didn't ask. I'm not
somebody's
like
going to hand me $100. I might consider it.
I'm not like that.
No, I would have done that.
I'd take the $100 and then not let them win.
I almost sold my press pass for $1,000 at the Super Bowl. I wasn't going to the game.
You know, I laugh, but
well,
I'd probably do the same thing.
Don't, exactly. You know, you might have to sell it because otherwise Michael Bennett will knock you over.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
That was great. Yeah, wow. Not great. I mean, you shouldn't be pushing down, you know, people in wheelchairs that are 66 years old, so... I'm wondering how that's going to play out.
Soon that's going to be you getting pushed over.
Let's get to the 4-minute football fix. Wow, he was right on that. He was right on that. Well, go ahead.
Before the 4-minute football fix, remember Trivia Tuesday at the Burger Bar over in across from Fanny Allen right here in Colchester.
It's like
right
100 feet from 40th and Allen.
Yep, right next to St. Mike's. Yeah. And then next Friday, broadcasting live 4 to 7, Natural Provisions in Williston.
And Tuesday's my birthday, so I'll be coming out after I'm done playing basketball.
Going out?
Going out what?
Are we getting invited?
No.
Wow.
I'm going to the burger bar after this.
Doesn't your wife have a candlelight dinner all set for you?
No. What are you talking about?
It's not how
she
it works.
She dreads my birthday.
Why?
Because then she has to do stuff for me. And
she does stuff for you every day.
No.
How about your mother-in-law? Does she send you money or anything?
Nobody does anything for me on my birthday. Zero.
I'll get out the violins.
I'll get you some Oreos.
Matter of fact, I'm going out tonight by myself down the Church Street. Seriously, I'm going out tonight. No, I'm serious.
Where are you going?
I don't know. Just walking up and down Church Street,
there
go to a couple bars.
In the rain?
Yeah,
you'll be that creepy old guy.
Bar hopping, with an umbrella. No umbrella, just walking around with the collar pulled up and stuff like that. All right, get to Malcolm Butler. What's going on there? Because I got a big problem with something that he said.
Well, Malcolm Butler spoke to Sports Illustrated about his Super Bowl benching. He said he did talk about how sick he had been. He said, I had the flu, nose running, nose stuffed up. I took a trip to the hospital. I didn't travel with the team. Quote, would we have won if I played? Probably, maybe. I'm not sure. I would say we were short about one or two plays. I've seen a couple of plays out there I could have made. It was just a coaching decision. It didn't work out good for me, Belichick, or the New England organization.
That's not the part that bothered me, though. The part that bothered me is they said, well, why, you know, did you get the benching? He says, I didn't ask why. First of all, is it okay not to ask why? Is it your place to ask why? Or do you just have to shut up and do what's best for the team? And when the coach tells you you're not playing, you don't say why. You talk to him after the game. And he says, Brady, you're not playing because I say you're not playing.
This is the second time this show I've agreed with you. That ties my all-time record.
I think he should have said why. I think he should have asked.
You would
Super
think
Bowl.
He might want to know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you?
I totally think he should have asked.
Say you two end up going to the Super Bowl and Ken decides we're not sending Rich. Better believe I'm in his office saying why.
Why?
I mean, it's your place to ask why you're not starting if you knew that in advance. Now, at what point? We still are trying to figure out how early in the week or how early in the day did Butler know that he wasn't starting? And then, if you're not starting, I would say if you knew that prior to immediately going out, then I would have already asked the question. If they go on the field at 5:45 and at 5:40 he finds out he's not starting, that's not the time. But as the game is materializing and you see yourself not playing and not being included in dime and nickel packages, I don't go over to Belichick. I go over to Matt Patricia or my position coach and saying, look, send this up the chain. What is going on? I don't know that going to Belichick directly is appropriate during the game, but position coach, defensive assistant,
somebody.
Those things, yes.
Absolutely. I would just want an answer. I don't care if the backup punter gives me the answer, if he's hurt or something, but I at some point would really like to know. And I don't know. I can't imagine not asking that question.
My boss in Dallas, and he was also actually hired me at Fox Sports Radio. He's not there anymore. When he hired me, he says, we give you one Y a month. Seriously.
I
didn't even know what he was talking about.
Well,
that makes sense. He goes, we have a playbook.
Yep.
You have to follow the playbook. If there's something that really bothers you and you want to come in, you could ask me why one time a month. Because otherwise, you got to do, when I say talk football and you want to say, why can't I talk something else?
Interesting.
Well, I'll answer it. But otherwise, we play the hits and, the Cowboys are the hits.
So did you ever ask why more than once?
No, I would never ask. I would just do whatever the hell and wait till them yell at me. I never talk to my bosses. I would stay far away from all my bosses.
The Butler thing, too, we're not talking about a 50-50 guy. It's not like a second stringer here. I mean, played, 98% of the snaps?
Right. And you have to ask why. Now, if he was told, right before the game, I could see how you could just say, I'm going to let it go and, deal with it afterwards. But, Super Bowl is the last game. But, you got to ask why. You got to talk to him.
During the game, you need to approach somebody on the defensive staff, but not Belichick himself.
It's one thing to say, how come you didn't ask? Is it two questions? Why am I not starting? Why am I not playing?
Well, you don't know. That's the thing. You don't know that you're not going to play as the game is materializing.
Right.
Now you can
after the first half, you're starting to realize.
You can start to get some writing on the wall, but you don't know that you're not in the plans at all until after the game is over when you look back and realize, I didn't play.
Do you have to ask that question after the game? Don't you go up and go, hey, what the blind?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
You ask it sometime, that's for sure.
You better believe it. Even if you're not on the team anymore, I'm going to ask that question.
Do you really, though, right now? He just said, I think after the game, you're so angry and upset. You say what he said. They gave up on me, and he's pretty much gone. And then you go sign somewhere else, and maybe you find out down the line from Matt Patricia, but I don't know that it really matters. You weren't going back to New England at that point anyway.
What happens if he told his agent, call up Belichick. I want to find out why they didn't play me.
Belichick would have said, I don't talk to agents.
No, you never get anything out of Belichick, but you might get something out, especially since he's gone to Detroit. You might get something from Patricia. Maybe.
Wow. No, Patricia's not saying either.
There's no way I could let that sleeping dog lie. No way.
No.
There's too much involved there.
I totally agree. What's the latest on Gronk? And I'm not surprised about this because we talked about, remember I said that he wants to go someplace where the weather could be nice? I said the Rams or Miami, maybe get into some films and some movie. What's going on with Gronk?
Well, the Boston Sports Journal's Greg Bedard hinted at a possible trade of Gronkowski. This is speculation and conjecture on his part, but he says, quote, a Bill Belichick-friendly source agreed with my thinking that once a player makes Belichick start to contemplate life without him, Belichick starts to warm to being without that player, and Belichick imagines that you're gone, basically. And he says every day that Gronk goes by, that lets go by, without saying he's all in, the chances of him being traded increase.
Mm. Well, that's fine. That's fine. He doesn't care. And going to Los Angeles, movies, Hollywood, the Rams are the new hot team out there. I got to imagine they're one of the top five teams to go to the Super Bowl this year with all the moves they've made. I say, go ahead, do whatever you want, you knucklehead. Though they say the two front runners, San Francisco and the Rams. What's with the San Francisco tie? I have no idea.
The more I mean, when you first brought this up, it's like, don't, whatever you do, don't trade him. Come on, you can't do that. That would be horrible. But the more I thought about it, I would imagine you could get quite a bit for him. He's got what, 1 year left, correct?
On his contract?
Yeah, I don't think you get much at all for
him. No, he's got more than
that. All right, so that's 2 years, I believe. So that's worth something. He's got more than 1 year left.
Yeah, but the second year is a horrible contract.
But I just worry about those injuries, man. He just cannot stay on the field. And they've won a Super Bowl without him. They've won a lot without him over the years. And I'll tell you, I would never make this move unless you can get a haul in return. It is Gronk in his, quote, prime, age-wise at least.
You're not – number one, he's not in his prime because he's always hurt. Number two
– what is he, 28?
Yeah, he's 28. But number two, you're not going to get the haul that you think you're going to get.
No, you're not.
If we're talking about Odell Beckham Jr. getting you not two first-round picks, I don't think you're getting it for Gronk, who's significantly more injured and is a guy who is – is expensive and is aging.
And is the greatest tight end in the history of the sport.
And that's the thing, is you never want to trade a Hall of Famer, no matter how bad they are at the end of the career. Look what happened to Eli Manning when they just sat him down for one game. All hell broke loose out there. I mean, you never want to trade a Hall of Famer, no matter how bad they're playing at the end of their career.
Yeah, but you know Belichick doesn't care about any of that.
But the fans do.
But the fact is, you're calling Gronk at the end of his career? Really?
He doesn't have much longer left. I don't see him playing until he's 35, 36.
No, I'll give you that.
He may quit now. What is wrong with you?
No,
guys?
I understand that. So say I throw out a hypothetical here. Gronk for a late first rounder.
No.
No, what's wrong with you?
I'm not trading Gronk. I'm not trading Gronk if I'm the Patriots, and the reason why is this.
You're not either now.
The Patriots need to make a choice. They can't be waffling in this. We've talked a lot this week about teams having one foot in one camp and one foot in the other. The Patriots need to make their choice, and their choice needs to be we're going all in. The minute they said that Tom Brady was here to stay and not Jimmy Garoppolo, they said, we don't care that much about the future. We care about right now. So if right now is what matters, and if we're trying to win with Tom Brady, and we don't know how much longer he has left, then you better surround Tom Brady with the best chances to win right now. Gronk is the best chance for him to win right now. Gronk is more valuable to Tom Brady now than two draft picks, of which take 3 years to develop when Brady's not here anymore. If it's all about winning now with Brady, then you got to put all your eggs in the win now basket and say future be damned at this point, and Gronk is the now.
Is Gronk willing to do a one-year deal? I suppose he is.
He's already under contract.
Yeah, he's under contract, but the second year of that contract is not favorable for the team. So I didn't think the Patriots were going to keep him after this year, or he'd have to rework it. I'm not sure how that's going to work
out. He's a free agent at the end of the 2019 season. He makes $8 million next year at $9 million the year after that.
All right.
If the Patriots were to cut him or were to trade him this year, they would clear $7 million.
Wow. Wow, I'm sure that's a lot of cap space they would. Belichick would love that.
Well, if it's about win now, then I'm sorry. You got to keep Gronk and you got to roll with the punches. You have proven that you can win without him, yes. So if he gets injured, then you've proven that you can handle that. But I'm not giving away players that are good players, that are impactful players that impact your ability to win now.
Yeah, if I'm a Patriot fan, I don't want him traded. But
not if they're not getting anything in return.
Yeah, you certainly don't want him cut either then.
No, I'd want him to play, but the fact that he's making it drag on so long, even if he comes back to play, I got to think it's only going to be for a year, two tops. So you can't, expect him to go past 30.
Doesn't he have to make his decision by draft day?
No, because he gets a bonus coming up in a
cut. He doesn't have to make his decision
at
by
all.
Any time.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be appreciated by his team?
But he's going to get a bonus. If he's going to retire, he's not going to say anything. Because he gets a bonus in, 2 months or something like that, $1 million bonus something.
And Bennett's gone anyway, so they're probably going to need a tight end anyway in the draft, so I'm not sure where.
And Dwayne Allen stinks.
Remember we talked about that signing? Oh, my goodness, that's the best signing ever.
He didn't have his first catch until,
unbelievable.
12?
Brady, get to the Yankees real quick, because they get opening day. Stanton with a couple of home runs, you would have thought. He has over 100 right now, I think.
It's just crazy, the way it's going.
I know he's on pace to have more than 300 home runs or whatever it is for 2 times 162. Look, my thoughts on the Yankees were exactly as I expected to see on opening day. They hit a bunch of home runs. Gardner had one. Stanton had two. They have a long lineup. It's a hard lineup to navigate. And beyond that, I don't know what that pitching staff looks like on the whole, but Severino is very, very good. His ability to control the ball at 98 miles an hour, good luck hitting him.
The parallels between the Sox and the Yankees game yesterday, because we were sitting at RJ's and watching them both, it was like the exact same game. It really was. It's 4-0, late innings, the away team is winning, and they got a great, fantastic, overwhelming start from both of their aces. And the only difference is the Yankees actually had a bullpen and held on. Betances was the only negative, but I mean, I think he'll be fine. But if you're a Yankee fan, that's the perfect game. Right,
what did you
there.
Think of the home run call? Did you like it?
Yeah, I have no idea. Can we find
it's
that?
Italian.
It's Italian. Oh, it is?
It's yeah. Italian, and it means Giancarlo, he cannot be stopped.
But, you know, right, by the way, how do you, because I say Giancarlo, do you have to go Giancarlo? Do you have to
That's French.
I know that.
No, I agree with you. I was doing a Yankees notebook today. I was like, how do you pronounce this guy's name?
Giancarlo.
Giancarlo.
Yeah, it's John.
It's like J-I-O-N.
But I feel like I got to throw a little Z in there. You know,
I still call him Mike.
I know.
Yeah, Mike Stanton. Yeah. Absolutely.
I feel like I got a little Z in there.
But I had no idea what John, what's his face, was saying with that home run call.
It was Italian. Yeah, I didn't like it. You have
a Stantonian blast.
That was okay.
Sure, that's fine.
Look, it's all in fun, so I'm not getting up in arms like everybody else saying, oh, it's the worst thing I ever heard in my life.
No, it wasn't the worst. I just had no idea what I was listening
to. Yeah, let's see it.
No, that was right on that corner. He can spot it. If he's on, he will spot it any place.
Stanton, the National League MVP last year, swung on and drilled to deep right center field. It is high. It is far. It is gone. It is first Yankee at bat. Giancarlo, non si può stopparlo. It is a Stantonian home run, a two-run blaster right center in his first Yankee at bat, and the Yankees take a 2-0 lead.
I don't know what it means, but it was funny.
It means he can't be stopped.
I like it, though. I like that.
Oh, John Sterling.
I hear Susie Walden.
Susan.
Waldman, oh, it's not Susie anymore. You can't.
Susan Waldman.
I think
close, though.
My ears are bleeding. So I
really, you don't like her?
For goodness gracious, out of all the things I've ever seen, this is the
I
most.
Like her.
Oh, my goodness.
She once was, I was watching Mariners-Yankee game, and she's like, they call it the slider because it slides across the plate.
Wow. I just. Oh,
that's insight goodness. You can only get there.
No, of course. Absolutely. Brady, what do we got coming up next?
Coming up next, well, first off, you need to call in now, 802-655-6672. Speaking of those Yankees, we've got Red Sox-Yankees tickets for April 10th at Fenway Park. It's a Tuesday night. You want to see the Sox. You want to see Stanton and the Yanks. We'll call in now with that Golic and Wingo word of the day. We do this every weekday for the next week as well. So on Monday, 7:55 and 8:55, get that Golic and Wingo word of the day. Call us back in the huddle, 4:20 and 5:20. So this is your last chance for the week right now.
All right, more Red Sox stuff, and we'll get to the Bruins. All that coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
101.3 ESPN weather.
Showers are ending and skies are gradually clearing. Tonight into Saturday, lows will fall into the upper 20s. Saturday, we're mostly sunny and it's going to be a really pleasant weather day. High temperatures in valleys approach 50. Saturday night, spotty rain and snow showers arrive with limited impact. Lows drop into the mid-30s. Sunday, showers early, afternoon clearing. It's otherwise cool and breezy with highs near 42. With your forecast on 101.3 ESPN. I'm Chief Meteorologist Sean Parker with Local 22 and Local 44 News.
It's 43 degrees at 101.3 ESPN.
Studies show that listening to 101.3 ESPN makes you more productive. And we'll prove it when we get around to it. This is The Huddle on 101.3 ESPN. Let's go!
All right, good afternoon, everybody. You're in the huddle right here at 101.3 ESPN. Who won the Yankee Red Sox tickets?
Travis from East Berkshire.
Oh, nice. Travis.
Out the boonies, baby.
Get a pair of tickets. Red
Travis
Sox
is also
Yankees.
A regular Facebook commenter.
Ah. I wonder what could you get for those tickets on the open market? A lot of money, I bet. Boy.
East Berkshire and Fenway Park are definitely not similar experiences.
Yeah, but they're great seats, too. They're just awesome seats.
They are. Are those the boss's seats, too?
Yes.
They're the boss's
seats.
Wow.
They're box seats.
For a Yankees game.
Yep, box seats.
Those things are gold.
That is incredible.
Wow. Well, good. So our two winners are going to go to Fenway, and they're going to sit together from South Hero and East Berkshire.
Yep.
I love it. Oh, we had four, and then we just, okay, I see how it goes there.
Love it.
All right. Good job on them. I was going to say we didn't get a winner, and we were just going to keep it for ourselves. So, I've done that a lot.
We can go as their plus one, can't we?
We could.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I'm still waiting on that.
I'll buy the beer.
Remember, Power Play, the new and exciting game, Sweep of the Country, coming up in about 15 minutes from now. Dumbed it down to all proportions. If we don't get a winner today, we'll never play it again. The Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both. Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both. I wish we had another pair of Red Sox Yankee tickets to give away. Who knows? Maybe we'll give away something really, really great and exciting. Fabulous prizes.
Like a T-shirt.
Or something else.
No, we're almost out of T-shirts. We need new ones.
After last night, we should be.
Yeah, we need. No, we're still good.
Yeah, all right. Which one we want to get to first? Let's get to, I know we have Red Sox to get to, but a lot of people ask you why we didn't talk about the Bruins.
Absolutely.
Yeah, big victory by the Bruins. Woo! They went 4-2, and just good game all the way around. They're just flexing their muscles. Even with the injuries,
they're
not even missing a beat. They're showing why maybe they're the best team in the NHL.
It's unbelievable what's going on with these guys. And now they're starting to get people back. It looks like other than Rick Nash.
And McAvoy's going to be back, so he might even be back for their next game.
Yeah.
Like against Florida tomorrow.
And Florida, look out for them, man. They have been red hot lately. But, yeah, I mean, last night, unbelievable. Rask was great. He even got in a brawl.
I know. And you know, I don't want to be Mr. Sensitivity on this or Mr. Naivete on this because I'm the first person in baseball to say it's okay to throw at somebody as long as you do it respectfully, as long as you don't hit him in the head. I thought Rask, that there was no need. Like, I didn't see anything there that was egregious about him going into the getting hit into the
Why didn't he get a penalty for that?
No, good question.
Said on the TV broadcast, there will be penalties when we come back.
Something had to have been said to him because he was kind of a hothead when he was young.
But they gave the other goalie a penalty, right? For skating down. And trying to.
Yeah, I was still going back from RJ's at that point, but I got a chance to see a lot of the game. They're right now. I mean, other than Rick Nash, they're ready to go. And I mean, you look at the West, and of course, I get way ahead. The problem for me with the Bruins is that at some point they're going to have to play Washington, a team they literally cannot beat.
And
in the second round.
And Pastrnak with the Gordie Howe hat trick, a goal, assist, and a fight.
I know.
And people. People were praising him for getting into a fight. I don't like my best offensive players getting into fights. Don't we have enforcers that do that?
Yeah, it's not a very good trade-off. You know, anytime you lose him, I mean, he went at it with Dan Girardi, who's a fairly valuable member of of Tampa, but not as much as Pastrnak is. No, I don't know what to tell you, man. This has come out of absolutely nowhere. And between them and the Celtics, nobody even noticed what they just did on that Western trip. It's unbelievable. They're missing literally half their team, and they swept a Western trip, including wins at Utah and at Portland. So it's a great time to be a Boston sports fan right now.
The thing that I did see as egregious yesterday, the hit that Gianta put on the Lightning player right into the boards, I mean, he got called for a penalty for it, but that's boarding, interference, however you want to term the penalty. That was a dirty hit. Yeah. And I like Gianta.
And there is such a, man, it's so hard to make that call. It's almost like what we were talking about yesterday with what is, or was it Wednesday? I guess it was Wednesday. It definitely wasn't yesterday since we weren't on. About football is such a fast sport now that if you lead with, if you lead with the head, a guy can move and you can end up hitting him right in the head and get, you know, knock him unconscious.
Well, this was the
penalty,
guy had his back to Gianta, right, and he went and pushed him two-handed shove into the board. Oh, that as dirty.
No question. And Grizzlick got hammered also in a game two games ago. I couldn't believe he was back. He looked like he was half dead on the play. But it's the same sort of thing. And so much of those kind of plays depend on what the recipient of the hit does right before he gets hit.
Yeah.
But I agree. That was pretty clear.
I'm trying to figure out who the Bruins would play in the first round if they finish with the best overall record and if they finish with the second best record. It's hard for me to tell. Well, do they play New Jersey?
Might be the Flyers, New Jersey. Well, those teams, Columbus, Flyers, and Jersey are all bunched up right now. So it's impossible to tell.
There's a point separating them, but.
So right now they would play New Jersey.
Okay, so it is New Jersey there.
So here, it's very odd how the NHL does their playoff pairings. The top seed in each division will play one of the wild card teams in its conference. The division leader with the most points plays the wild card team with the fewest points. So that would
be. But there's only two wild cards, right?
Yes. So the second and third seeds in each division face each other in the first round.
All right, so it would be New Jersey right now.
Right. And the Flyers would get Tampa, would get Washington, which is considered the two seed, even though they have the third most points.
And the Bruins are probably going to end up with the best overall points. I think they'll hold off Tampa because they have a one-point lead and they have one game in hand also.
The thing. All year they've had games in hand. This Florida game is a makeup from a snowstorm.
What's the final four games for the Bruins, Rich? You know off the top of your head?
Well, you got Florida on
Saturday.
Saturday.
And then they play the Lightning again.
Oh, wow.
They get the Lightning again. That game is going to be in Tampa next Tuesday, I believe it is.
It's so they're I don't know what you said, four games left, but they got six.
Oh, there's six.
It's the Panthers and Bruins on Saturday, then the Bruins and Flyers on April 1st, then the Bruins and Lightning on the 3rd, Bruins Panthers again on the 5th, Bruins Senators on the 7th, and Bruins Panthers again on the 8th.
Geez, that easy.
It's a weird schedule. They didn't play Florida until about 2 weeks ago. First time they played them the whole season. Now they get them three more times, or two more, I guess.
Well, then I shouldn't say they'll hold on. They'll either play Philadelphia or New Jersey, it looks like.
No, but I mean, you got to like that. The only tough one, real tough one on that. Well, I guess both games in Florida are tough because the Panthers are good. But yeah, I mean, at Philly, we'll see. But finishing up home against Ottawa and Florida should be a good thing.
Glenn and Mugden said Tuca got into a tussle because the guy was laying on one of his fellow Bruins in front of the goal, and he wouldn't let him up.
All right, so,
no, stop it. That wasn't why.
I hope that's why, because I didn't think Tuca really got egregiously hit there.
He didn't. The guy was just there, and he decided he wanted to take a shot at
him. Just tough.
That's exactly what he did.
How many fights has your son been in?
He's been in two, I think.
I saw the video of one of them. It was wicked.
I don't want him, because I don't think he's very strong. And I'm like, you just skate around to the other end. You don't, believe me, do not get into a fight.
For someone who doesn't want his son to get in a fight, you sure were proud.
Yes.
Remember, it was at the Shelburne Tap House, and you said, look at this. And you pulled out your phone, and you were so proud. Your kid is brawling with the other team's goalie.
I usually don't like him doing that. Unless he's getting the better of it, I usually don't like that, to be honest with you.
There you go.
Brady, finish out the Red Sox, because they take game one loss. You'd think that was they were just mathematically eliminated from the playoff race, but it's still just 0-1 on the first game there, Brady.
There's still a lot of good to take away from that Red Sox game, and I know it's a bitter pill to swallow. You hate losing on opening day, and you hate losing the way that they did, but Sale was dominant through six innings. Efficient with his pitch count, 15 pitches per inning to get through six innings. As we go deeper into this season, you know he's going to be back out there for the seventh. He finished at 92 pitches. Mookie Betts crushed the first pitch of the game, line drive, deep center field, and ended up getting robbed by Kiermaier, but it's that new offensive approach that the Red Sox have talked about, quote, hunting fastballs, Tom Caron told us on Tuesday. Xander Bogaerts went 3-for-4. He had not a terrible year last year, but a down year from what we had expected. Devers had two ribbies, so there's a lot of things that had to make you happy.
Yeah, Nunez, don't leave him out. Of course, he's the...
That was a funny play.
He is just like the guy you're going to plug in everywhere. If he's not in the lineup, I cry. I'm always like, you got to get him in. I've got a feeling that the Red Sox might go through some offensive struggles this year. Yeah. Because I was not very impressed with their offense.
I think Bogaerts, you brought him up. He was absolutely the key offensively yesterday. He went 3-for-4, got on base at least three times, scored two of their runs. He has got to get going this year. As you said, not only has he not been hitting for power, but what did he hit last year? 260, something like that. And a lot of guys didn't hit last year. Betts hit about 265, although he put up big numbers. There's a lot of guys in that lineup that they're looking for something different this year, and better numbers, and hopefully it'll start tonight.
What's the next time they want to take Sale out after six or seven innings? What's he going to say? Next time they come walking out, take him out.
Well, I think he has to be okay with it early in the season, because he's the one who's trying to address his late season struggles also.
It's going to be frustrating, but I mean, and Barnes, don't forget, Matt, you mentioned guys that did a good job. Barnes came in and did his job.
Yeah.
There was no reason to believe at 4-0 going into the bottom of the eighth against a minor league team that they're going to lose the game. It just, the thing that was so frustrating was Joe Kelly, with a team full of guys who can't hit, isn't even giving the chance to get the bats off their shoulder. He's basically giving them the runs.
I've never seen an ERA that big in my life.
Infinity?
It's
108.
It's 108. I mean, I know it's just one third of an inning, one hit, four runs. I guess there's got to be bigger than that. Somebody just gets clobbered in their one inning.
But how frustrating is that if you're the pitching coach? They walked four guys that inning, and all four of them scored.
Unbelievable. Getting a lot on the Town Fair Tire text line. Anything good to read there, Brady? There's a lot coming in. Chris, the Mets fan, says, everyone says they can't see the puck on TV. What are your thoughts about changing the puck color to a bright orange or a bright green? No, they had the...
A little flame.
The little blue tail. Right, yeah. That's what they called it.
I don't want the actual puck changing colors, but the graphic...
You know what?
I assume he's talking about... He's talking about the actual puck being a different color. Right. I'm talking about don't change the puck color. Give me a different graphic where I can see it easier.
You know, my son used to train with a white puck. You know, so you wouldn't be able to see it until the last minute.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So you seriously, you wouldn't see it
for quickness.
Yeah, you wouldn't see it till the last minute, and you know you could do quick
moves.
What a
simple, cool idea.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've never had a problem following the puck. I don't know. I find it harder in person than on TV.
Jordan Fairfield said, "From what I saw, the Lightning players were throwing Bruin defensemen in the Tuca all night, but it mostly falls on the defensemen not to run into their own goalie." So, I mean, the possible. I don't know. I didn't get to watch a whole game, but it was interesting on that. All right, you know what's coming up next, don't you? It is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. If you guys screw this up, I'm going to cancel it. I mean, it can't get any easier than the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both. And we got fabulous prizes. Do we have any more Red Sox Yankee tickets?
No.
You sure?
Yep.
Well, that would have been nice to
Why,
get away.
You have some?
No, but
okay.
I don't know if I'd give it away on Power Play because, I mean, the people that play Power Play, we never get a winner. We never get a winner on that. We dumbed it down. We got fabulous prizes. We've emptied out the prize vault, and we said just put everything in the Power Play because nobody ever wins it anyway.
No, they don't because you talk so much at this side of the commercial break that there's no time to get any callers on the other side.
Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both. Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both. Start calling now. 802-655-6672. 802-655-6672. Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Coming up next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
The local sports talk show. Nothing else comes close. Come to think of it, there isn't anything else. The Huddle, 101.3 ESPN.
All right, it is time for Power Play, the new and exciting game sweeping the country. Let me tell you how to play the game. We ask you a question. If you get that question wrong, you'll hear this. And we move on. If you come on the air and go, wait a minute, you're going too fast, we don't care. You'll still hear this. And we move on. If you go, wait a minute, you knuckleheads, you guys got question four wrong. You're probably right, but we don't care. And you'll hear this. And we move on. If you get a question right, we'll ask you another. If you get all 10 questions right, what do they win, Brady?
Fabulous prizes.
Fabulous prizes. Fabulous prizes.
Arnie sneakers.
If you get all 10 questions right, the three possible answers, the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both, Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both. So, Brady, if I said to you, he likes to wear a red suit and go, ho, 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 you would say?
Santa Claus.
Oh, he's never got a question
Impressive.
Wrong on this. He's never got a question wrong on that. Rich, if I said to you, this one has a cute little tail, you would say?
That's the Easter Bunny.
Oh, you are so good
Thank
on
you.
This. Yeah. You're so good.
Yep.
And Brady, if I said to you, I don't know, what's one with both? I have no
idea.
They give presents, you would say?
Both.
Oh, you're so good at
that. That is actually a question,
but we don't care because we know we're not going to get a winner. So there you go, the Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both. The Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both. So, without further ado, it is time for Power Play. If we don't get a winner, I am not playing this game anymore. We don't say that
because we're not going to get a winner.
We only have time for two calls.
We've gone 6 months without a winner. This is ridiculous.
Go ahead.
Let's start with John in Essex. John, are you ready for Power Play?
I'm ready. Let's do it.
What are the three answers, John?
Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, both.
Wow. Got its origin from German Lutherans.
Santa Claus.
Oh, yeah, that's a real easy one. Oh, you dumbed it down, huh?
Well, I didn't see that question. you still should have gotten that one right, would you not?
Who would ever know that?
Well, you know where Santa comes from, don't you?
Yeah.
From the sled in the sky.
So then you wouldn't have said Santa on that one. You would have said Easter Bunny.
That's a tough one.
Well,
you set this up.
I didn't write the question.
You basically lied to the listeners.
No.
Question two is easy.
Question two brings gifts to children.
Okay.
I mean, come on now. It's not that tough. Stop it. All right, let's go to Scott. Scott, are you ready for Power Play?
I'm ready.
What are the three answers, Scott?
Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both?
Brings gifts to children.
Both.
Wow, I was afraid you weren't going to get that right. Got its origin from German Lutherans.
Easter Bunny.
There you go.
Has a town in the U.S. named after him.
Santa Claus.
Yes.
The first mention of this figure came first.
Santa Claus.
You got it wrong? I thought he was going to get it all right
there. I would have said that, too. Yeah, I drove by the Santa Claus exit on my trip to St. Louis a couple
Jay
years
Cutler's
ago.
From Santa Claus, Indiana.
Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah.
We should get a winner right next one. Yeah. I mean, who's next up, Brady? Do we
Jim.
Have a Jim in Burlington.
Just Jim.
Just Jim in somewhere. Jim, where are you calling from, Jim?
Essex.
Yeah. I knew it. All right, Jim, what are the three possible answers?
Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both.
You're feeling pretty confident, are you not?
I am not.
Wow. At least he's honest.
At least he's honest. Got its origin from German Lutherans.
Easter Bunny.
Brings gifts to children.
Both.
Has a town in the U.S. named after him.
Santa Claus.
The first mention of this figure came first.
Easter Bunny.
Nice.
Is associated with the Virgin Mary.
Santa Claus?
What kind of a question is that, really?
I didn't write that, but I wouldn't think Santa Claus was associated with the Virgin Mary. That was just a guess.
That
yeah, that would just be a guess. I'm like, well, Santa did have Mrs. Santa Claus, so I'm going to say Easter Bunny on that one.
You just keep talking on that one.
That opens up a line, 802-655-6672. Well, the answer was not both, Rich.
No.
The answer was not both.
802. He's associated with the Virgin Mary. Really?
Well,
okay.
Brings gifts to children was pretty easy.
Yeah, but as usual, you lie.
All right, you ready?
So. All right, what's the next one?
Justin in Plattsburgh.
Justin, are you ready for power play?
Oh, boy, am I ever.
Oh, wow.
What are confidence level very high.
Very high, very high. What are the three possible answers?
The Easter Honey, Santa Paws, or both?
Oh, look, he's even being funny. We got a winner.
He's being creative.
He's so cocky. We got a winner.
Am I going to have to use the delay button? Is he going to swear or something? Please don't swear.
Yeah, we don't want to do that.
No, I won't, and I'm only kidding. You know?
Got its origin from German Lutherans.
The Easter Bunny.
Brings gifts to children.
Both.
Has a town in the U.S. named after him.
Santa Claus.
The first mention of this figure came first.
Santa Claus.
No, what do you mean Santa Claus? Man, we already gave you that answer.
He was so confident.
He was very cocky and confident. Oh my goodness. All right, that opens up a line. Do we have two lines open?
No, one. Okay. We got John coming next.
We'll answer that one first before we get to John.
No, John's on now.
All right, John's on now. Forget that then. John, are you there?
I'm here.
John, what are the three possible answers?
The Easter Bunny, Santa, or both?
Still confidence not high with him. I don't know what to do.
A song and dance routine on the radio?
I get that gut feeling sometimes. All right, here we go. Got its origin from German Lutherans.
Easter Bunny.
He took so long just for the first one. Has a town in the U.S. named after him.
Santa.
Brings gifts to children.
Both.
The first mention of this figure came first.
Easter Bunny.
Is associated with the Virgin Mary.
Easter Bunny.
In Austria and Britain, people leave beer and sherry for him.
Santa.
Nice.
Wouldn't be the Easter Bunny. Only brings gifts to those who are nice.
Santa.
Well, what would you say? The Easter Bunny only gives gifts to people who are not nice? Who would always say Santa on that
one? That's a bit of a trick question.
Trick question on Easter Bunny, Santa, or both? I mean, come on, this isn't the SAT.
Does the Easter Bunny... All right.
Who's next up?
I totally forget. I don't know. I forget his name.
I forget your name. Who is this?
Scott from Plattsburgh.
There you go. Scott from Plattsburgh.
Scott from Plattsburgh. What are the three answers, Scott?
Easter Bunny, Santa Claus, or both?
Arnie, all right, I got to read that later on. All right, here we go. Confidence level not very high, but here we go. Got its origin from German Lutherans.
Easter Bunny.
Brings gift to children.
Both.
Has a town in the U.S. named after him.
Santa Claus.
The first mention of this figure came first.
Easter Bunny.
Is associated with the Virgin Mary.
Easter Bunny.
In Austria and Britain, people leave beer and sherry for him.
Santa Claus.
Wow.
Only brings gifts to those who are nice.
Both.
Nice.
Is associated with a festival of fertility.
Easter Bunny.
Oh, he knew it.
Well, what would be Santa Claus on that one? Before people believed in him, they believed a goat better represented the holiday.
Definitely Santa Claus.
Wow, one more.
And the last one, for all the marbles. Which holiday sells more candy? Easter or Christmas?
Wow.
Easter.
Yes. We got a winner!
Wow! Please, they got the children!
Woo-hoo-hoo. It wasn't that tough, was it?
Those are easy questions.
Yeah, there you go.
Really?
He must be a pastor or something.
Yeah, there you go. Wow. What are you?
I'm a Yankees fan.
Oh, jeez.
Well, despite that, you still win.
I'm glad we weren't giving away Red Sox Yankee tickets. All right, put him on hold. By the way, a first-time texter said, Arnie, it's neither new or exciting. It's frustrating listening to dumb listeners. Have Brady talk instead. No, we dumbed it down, though. We got a winner. So there you go.
Dumbed it down.
We got a winner. And I'm going to write next week and make it like 50-50. True, false.
We've done that and not won.
Got its origin from German Lutherans. Easter Bunny. What the hell is that there?
That means that German Lutherans came up with the idea of the Easter Bunny.
Brings gifts to children.
That's both.
Has a town in the U.S. named after him.
Santa Claus, Indiana.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
The first mention of this figure came first.
1682 for the Easter Bunny, 1700s for Santa.
Is associated with the Virgin Mary.
That is the Easter Bunny, and the reason why is because a hare is like a bunny, and it doesn't need to have another hare to reproduce, so it's like the Virgin Mary, who reproduced without having to do anything.
You want to answer anything to that there, Rich?
Say I've learned something new today.
In Austria and Britain, people leave beer and sherry for him.
That's Santa instead of milk and cookies. I don't know what sherry is.
It's alcohol.
Okay, that's
yeah,
what I thought.
Booze, yeah, yeah. Only brings gifts to those who are nice.
That's both.
Is associated with a festival of fertility.
That's Easter Bunny, and you know what they say. You reproduce like bunnies or rabbits,
that's
the reason why.
Before people believed in him, they believed a goat better represented the holiday.
A goat, the Yule, so like Yuletide Carol, Yuletide Spirit.
I thought it was opening day with the Cubs and all. Which holiday sells more candy, Easter or Christmas?
Easter. It's a second behind Halloween.
I was about to say, you should have put Halloween in there.
That would have been the trick.
Yeah, so there you got Power Play, the new and exciting game. Sweep of the country. We'll come back. A short last story standing next right here on 101.3 ESPN.
Time for one last piece of news gone untouched throughout the show. Wacky or insightful? It's time for Last Story Standing on the Huddle on 101.3 ESPN.
All right, Rich, give us Last Story Standing today.
I was pretty psyched. Found out yesterday from your Vermont Lake Monsters that the 100th former Lake Monster, Jairo Munoz, who played in 2014, in fact, was the Tom Racine MVP award winner that year, got brought up yesterday. He's the 100th former Vermont Expo Lake Monster to make the majors. He went to St. Louis. And then I looked today, Billy McKinney's been promoted to the Yankees. That's 101 former Expo and Lake Monsters.
Wow.
And pretty cool, Trebell Haynes right now, 9.7 assists and a rebound in the senior All-Star game.
Look at that. Nice. UVM being represented out there. Brady, it's a holiday. Don't stay late. Just do a segment and then wrap it up, please. I'm not going to let you stay late on a holiday. You know, I'm so nice. For intern...
No one?
No interns. I gave all the interns a day off for Brady, for Rich. I'm Marty. Everybody enjoy the holiday. Brady, coming up next on Champlain Valley Game Night right here on 101.3 ESPN.